You would open your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 18. Brought a couple of messages a couple of weeks ago on chapter 17 of Elijah, how he met Ahab, the king, and told him that God was sending judgment upon Israel because of their sin, of their rebellion, their sin of worshiping all these false idols. And then the Lord took Elijah and hid him, sent him by a brook, and said the ravens came and fed him twice a day, and he drank of the water by that brook. He didn't send him to a river. We would have thought, well, he would have sent him to the Jordan River. No, he sent him to a brook. And the Lord had him hid. And we're going to see today that they looked for him everywhere and couldn't find him. And that's a picture of when God hides the gospel, it's hid. To one of the greatest judgments upon a people or a community is when God hides his gospel, and he does. And Elijah probably stayed there beside that brook for a year. And then the brook dries up. And the reason the brook dries up, because it has not rained. So everything's affected by it. Elijah was affected. He wasn't exempt from it. Well, then where's he to go now? We don't know how long he stayed after the brook dried up. But now he's forced to leave. And there's times in our lives when there are things we would call brooks that dry up, and we don't have a choice. We have to leave. And now God says, I have provided a widow woman. You think about that, a widow. Not a man living in a castle, a widow woman. And she has one son. I've commanded. He said, I commanded the ravens to take care of you, which was against their nature. And I've commanded a widow woman to take care of you. And you know what would go on in our mind? Well, how can she take care of us? And he stays there with that woman for 2 years. And while he's there, her son dies. And God, through Elijah, raises that boy from the dead. And the whole time, you know where he's hid? Zidon. The reason that's significant? Jezebel, that old wicked queen that's married to Ahab, that's where she's from. They may have looked everywhere else but there. But he was hid for 3 years. In James chapter 5, verse 17, listen. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, talking about Elijah. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not upon the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So let's begin reading in verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 18. I was in 1 Samuel. 1 Kings 18. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Elijah went to show himself to Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel, Ahab's wife, cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets, hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, unto all the fountains of water, and to all the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we don't lose all the beast. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him. And he fell on his face and said, Art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, go tell Ahab, your lord, the one you serve, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He's not there, they looked everywhere for you. That Ahab took an oath of the kingdoms and nations that they found thee not. They had to swear, We don't know where he is. And if they had and knew about it, he would have probably punished them. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here. And it'll come to pass as soon as I'm gone from thee that the Spirit of the Lord shall call thee away, whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab that he cannot find thee, he'll slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? He's not bragging or boasting about what he did. He's just stating the fact. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, for whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And Elijah answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that you have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam, the nation of Israel. So you'll understand. At this time, the nation has been divided because of what Solomon did, because of Solomon having all the wives, and those women stole his hearts away from the Lord. The Lord said, I won't divide the kingdom in your lifetime. And the only reason I'm not going to do it is because David, my servant's sake, your father. But then after that, it was split. The 10 northern tribes, they went to the north. And the 2 southern, Judah and Benjamin, stayed in the south, in Jerusalem. So when it speaks of Judah, when you read of the kings, when it speaks of Israel, it's talking about the 10 northern tribes. And that's who Ahab was a king. So that you would have a king of the northern and king of the south. Most all of them from the north were wicked. They did that which was evil in the sight of God. And if Ahab, he did worse than his father did, in that he married Jezebel. And she had all these prophets, false prophets, who were on her payroll. She took care of them. And we see here, as we've read, what did she do to the real prophets of God? She meant to kill every one of them. This is a sad state. A sad state for that nation. So what does God do? He withholds the rain. He first brings out Elijah and he said, it's not going to rain. Now he comes, it's going to rain. God said, you go to Ahab. And he didn't go till the Lord sent him. Why did God withhold the rain? It was judgment upon individuals and it was judicial judgment upon a nation. I want to show you this. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13. The children of Israel, they were instructed about this. It says in Deuteronomy 11, verse 13, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto my commandment, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and serve him with your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in due season. The first rain and the latter rain. He would send the rain for the harvest, and he would send the rain to soften the soil when they would plant the seed, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourself, that your heart be not deceived, and turn aside, and serve other gods and worship them. That's what Ahab and Israel were doing. They turned aside to other gods, and they were worshiping these gods. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly from off the good land, which the Lord giveth you. So they knew there. God said, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. I will withhold the rain. And when you withhold the rain, everything dies. It said it was a famine. Our Lord said, when he made mention of this, said there was a famine in Israel. You imagine it not raining for 3 years. Everything's going to die. Everything's going to wither. Now, what is this a picture of? What is this rain a picture of? This rain is a picture of the Spirit of God. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. It's a spirit of his spirit. What happens when God withholds his spirit? There's nothing but death. The spirit of God said, let there be light, and there was light. Death. What does God do? He, in many places, he removes his candlestick. He removes his light. And just like we would, as you would withhold the natural rain, when he withholds the presence of his spirit, everything dies. Everything. He withholds his rain to chasten his people. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. The reason we know this, if you read on over, we'll be looking at this Elijah over the next several weeks, that even when Elijah was discouraged, he said, I'm the only one left. Had he forgot about the 100 that was spared in the cave? But you know what the Lord said? He said, Elijah, he said, I've got 7,000 that I have reserved unto myself that have not bowed to the image of Baal. God does not punish his children. He corrects his children. And that's why many times he withholds his spirit. That's when he told those churches in Revelation. He told Ephesus, he said, you've left your first love. And they had. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I've heard this verse in this context, well, and I'm going to give you the context of it a lot lately. I used to hear this verse 14, 2 Chronicles 7, 14, quoted a lot by religious people when we were in religion. But in the context of this, where this is spoken, this is when Solomon is dedicating the temple of God. And as you'll see, we'll see on in the story of Elijah, you know what happened when Solomon built the temple? It says the fire of the Lord came down, which is a picture of God's spirit. And the priests were so afraid to go in. So here is Solomon dedicating the temple of God, the worship of God. And here's what he said. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, 2 Chronicles 7, 13. Or if I command the locusts to devour the land. Or if I send pestilence among my people. And he makes reference who they are. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their lands. Mine eyes shall be open and my ear attentive to that prayer that is made unto this place that's prayed toward the mercy seat, which is looking to Christ. Mr. Hawker made a good statement on this. He said, if to prompt my people to promote or persuade my people to call upon me, I withhold their comforts. If the influence of my spirit is restrained, like heaven shut up, if I permit the enemy to distress them, and the locusts devouring the land, yet under all these discouraging circumstances, you imagine the circumstances in which they lived. Our Lord said there was many, many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, but not he did not send his servant to none of them, save one, that elect child of God. That's what he said. And it made those people in Nazareth that day so mad, they wanted to kill him. They knew what he was saying, and that's what he's saying. Hey, this is my people. If my people feel their soul humbled, and they do, and shall look with an eye of faith to my dear son, mine eyes shall be open, mine ears attended unto the supplication of my people, for I have placed salvation in Zion for Jesus, my glory. That's what it is. But religion says, well, if you make yourself humble, try it. It's an impossibility. If you think you've made yourself proud, you're full of damnable pride. That's it. And that's what they thought. But it is a humbling. He said humble in soul. We don't know. Elijah prayed, didn't he? He said he prayed earnestly. He's an example. He was a man of like passion, just like you. He was a sinner, just like you. And he prayed. And it didn't rain.
And he prayed again, and it did rain. Lord, send your spirit. Lord, sometimes he withholds his spirit. He withheld it. So his people would look to him. That's why. You think about Elijah, what's he going to do during this famine? The Lord's taking care of him. What happens to those 100? They're in a cave. You imagine this, they're in a cave. The Lord's taking care of them. And they're hid. He's got 7,000 that won't bow. They're his. He'll take care of them. Why does God withhold the presence of his spirit? To bring his children back to him. Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. Nobody likes pain. No, if you'd asked Elijah sitting there by that brook when it begins to dry up, what are we going to do now? But it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward the chastisement, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Jeremiah 32:39. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them. They may have forsaken him, but he never forsook them. I won't turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their heart that they shall not depart from me. You know what God's getting ready to do? We're going to see God's getting ready to throw down the gauntlet. God's going to make manifest who them false gods are. He's going to make manifest who those false prophets are. And you know how he's going to do it? With one man, Elijah, a man that God raised up. Where'd this man come from? It's just like he just shows up on the scene, almost like Melchizedek. Here he comes. Where'd he come from? Where's his mom and his father? We don't know. He's of the land of Gilead. Is there a bomb in Gilead? Oh, yeah. And he sent him. And he preached one message to Ahab, and then he goes and hides him till God wants to bring him out again. And he's going to reveal why all this happened. What is the result when God withholds the rain? Everything dies. Everything dries up and becomes barren. I thought about, you know what happens when God withholds the rain, the Spirit of God? The gospel goes forth just in word only. It's just empty words. And there's no power. It takes the Spirit of God to bring life. And only God can do it. And he does withhold it at times. He does. Just like he did here. Death. Everywhere death. But in that little, beside that little brook, there was life. And in that little widow's house, there was life. Life. Listen to what it says in the book of Amos. Amos chapter 4 verse 7. And also I have withholden the rain from you when there was 3 months to the harvest. Well, if he withholds the rain and it's 3 months to harvest, everybody's planning on what we're going to have. We're going to have a harvest. Yeah, there'll be a harvest if it rains. But what if he withholds the rain? There won't be any harvest. The seed will just dry up on the stalk. And I cause it to rain upon one city and cause it not to rain upon another city. Do you know, as some said, it could have rained on Judah and not rained on Israel. I'll send rain on the just and on the unjust. The Lord can bless one place with spiritual rain and withhold it from another place. Yes, he can. When peace was rained upon, then the peace whereon it rained not withered. The amazing thing is why would it ever rain on you? I can see that widow woman. You know why it rained on her house? She says, why me? Why me? Why out of all those widows, why her? She's a Gentile. She's a Zidonian. You know, one of the only times our Lord ever went to Zidon was with the Canaanite woman who our Lord called a dog. And she said, that's right, I'm your dog. God saved that Gentile dog, and he saved that Gentile dog. Oh, what grace, what mercy. Well, what happens when God withholds the rain? Everyone's upset. Everyone was affected. Not just the unbelievers, but the believers also were affected. You imagine trying to, if you could talk to some of those men hidden in that cave, are you affected? Oh, yeah. Everyone's affected. Everyone's affected. God sent Elijah by the brook, but eventually it dried up. He didn't send him to a river. He sent him to a brook, a small brook, a small place, hidden place. But after a while, it dries up. I've been beside brooks before, and I've seen them dry up. I look back and I say, I seen it. I maybe didn't see it then, but I see it now. It dried up, and it's time to go. You'd say, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And they may not even say it out loud, but in my heart, I'm going to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And God sends the ravens to feed Elijah. And the Lord will feed his children. I want you to see this, children. The Lord will feed his children in the midst of a famine. As those ravens, they're not animals to bring food to you. They devour it themselves. They brought bread and meat to Elijah twice a day. Henry said he was meals on wings. But that's how the Lord takes. And he's teaching Elijah. He's teaching the widow woman. And the Lord's teaching us. While others are starving, God took care of his servant. What's this a picture of in Amos chapter 8, verse 11? But the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor of a thirst for water. What is this famine? It is a famine of hearing the word of God. Where's Elijah? Ahab says, go find him. I need to hear from him. When's this going to be over? They can't find him. They couldn't find him. God can hide his truth. What I understand from the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew, it's 400 years. Isn't that right? 400 years? And you know who comes out speaking the gospel? A man named like Elijah. His name was John the Baptist, who's a voice crying in the wilderness. He just showed up one day. Where it said there that God told Elijah to go show, S-H-E-W, show himself unto Ahab. You know what it said about John the Baptist? He was in the wilderness to the day of his showing. Where'd this guy come from? He's come preaching repentance. I guarantee you he got everybody's attention, isn't it? God's speaking to this man. God hadn't spoke for 400 years. 400 years? It'd been a long time. Children of Israel was in Egypt till God sent them a Moses. But if you're his, he'll send you a prophet. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Men think, then they may control their little peanut gods, but you don't control God. You can't make God manifest himself. God controls us, we don't control him. And Elijah's going to show those men that. He's going to show those false prophets. He said, if God is God, we'll serve him. And if he ain't serve you, peanut gods. He mocked them. They ought to be mocked. They ain't no God. He knew it. They're out there making all their noise, trying to impress their God. He said, you need to talk a little louder. Scream a little louder. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's in a far country somewhere. And they cut their flesh and made a big noise and nothing happened. Then Elijah prays a very simple prayer and the fire fell. You know what God just manifested? That he's God. This world needs to find out that God is God and he rules. Don't you think a lot of people were asking the question by now after it's not rained for 3.5 years, when's it going to rain? Sandy, how are we going to survive? When the brook dries up, what are we to do? If we stay here, we'll perish. We're forced to leave. And Elijah didn't leave till the Lord told him where to go. He said, you go to a widow's house. And then he tells Elijah, it's time. I'm going to send rain. After all those years, yeah, he's going to send rain. And the only one who knows it is Elijah, because the Lord told him it's going to rain. So now you go see Ahab again. Our Lord said, I tell you of a truth, that many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 days, 3 years, and 6 months, when the famine was throughout all the land. Here we see it says, it came to pass after many days, God withholding the rain had served its purpose. I think when I was just made that comment, it made me think about England. At one time, God richly rained down his blessings on that nation. John Gill, Spurgeon, and many other men within that area. And what I think now, what I hear, there's hardly nothing there. It's a barren, dry place. Well, why would God establish the gospel here? Why in a place like Cottageville, Paul? Well, you think we're blessed in this state. For the gospel churches we have, we can drive anywhere within about 2 hours and find a church where the gospel's preached. Most people don't have that convenience. We're truly blessed. He's not seen Elijah. Ahab's not seen Elijah for 3 years. And God, as I said, God's going to show himself. You think about that when God shows himself. As I've said in Luke 1:80, and the child grew and waxed strong and was in the desert, and he was in the desert, that barren place, till the day of Israel. And we don't know what he faced. We don't know what he went through. His ministry was only for a short time, till Herod had his head took off, because he went in and you imagine this. Just like when Elijah goes up to Ahab, John the Baptist goes in there and says, Herod, it's wrong for you to have your brother's wife. He stuck his finger right in his face, and it cost him his head. Ahab had tried to find Elijah. He wanted to kill him. He made everyone swear, if they knew where he was, that they better tell him. But the time had now come for God to show himself unto this wicked king. Can you imagine the people sitting in Herod's court that day? Who is this idiot? Does he not know who he's talking to? Nobody else wouldn't have talked that way to the king because they're afraid of the king. Not John the Baptist and not Elijah. Paul stood before kings and he told them the truth. He persuaded to them, talked to them. And this is what we see here. God sending his prophet to this man, Ahab. God will make himself known when he's pleased to do so. Ahab, he called Obadiah and he told him that they'd split up and they'd go through all the country. And they're looking for fountains of water. Go to all the brooks, peradventure we may find some grass to save the horses and the mules alive. They went their own way. How can two walk together except to be agreed? This wicked man is more concerned about the animals, more concerned about the beast than he is about the souls of men. And he's more concerned about it than his own soul. Nothing about seeking the Lord. Reckon we can find a little grass so that all the horses don't die? Does that not sound familiar? People are not concerned about their soul. They're concerned about everything else, but not concerned about their soul. He took a great deal of pain to seek for grass, but none to seek the favor of God. The things of God are of no value to him. I thought about Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Imagine living under a king like this. This describes all men in their depraved state. They worship a king like this. He's not concerned about you. He's the father of all lies. He's the father of it. It's Satan. He wants to keep men in bondage, take them captive at his will. Elijah is sent to Ahab, but before he meets Ahab, he meets this man called Obadiah. Really, most of this paragraph or this section of scripture that we look at is dealing more with Elijah and Ahab than it even is with Ahab. So in verses 7 through 15, it's discussing Obadiah, this man. What do we know about him? He was the governor in the house of Ahab. Doesn't that seem strange? How can this man, I believe he's a believer. He said he feared the Lord greatly. He manifested his faith by taking care of those prophets. He knew the value of those prophets. Well, how is he a governor in this man's house? I tell you how, the Lord put him there. That's why. For such a time as this. Right in the midst of his house is Obadiah. Some have criticized this man for being a governor in the wicked man's house. Well, let me give you some other examples. Joseph was a servant in Pharaoh's house. Naaman was a servant to Ben-Hadad. Mordecai to Ahasuerus. And Nehemiah to Artaxerxes. You remember Nehemiah? He was the cupbearer. And then if you'll notice in the book of Acts, it said they were some believers in Caesar's household. The Lord put them there. And the Lord put him there. I think because of Obadiah's influence, he probably took the food from off Ahab's table to feed those men in those caves. He got it somewhere, didn't he? I was doing a sermon one time on, remember the widow woman in 2 Kings with the story with Elisha? Her husband died and he left a great debt. And all she has is the little oil. And he tells her to go borrow the vessels and fill the vessels. And then when all the vessels are full, the oil stopped. And he said, now go take the oil and sell it and pay the debt. Some believe her husband was Obadiah. Oh, he left with a great debt. They said he may have borrowed the money just to get the food to take and keep those servants alive. But the Lord put him there. And what am I saying? The Lord's put you right where you are. For even Obadiah, he served a purpose here, and he meets Elijah. The Lord hid Elijah in the very town that Jezebel was from. He hid his servant in his own court. While Obadiah was in the way, he's not looking for Elijah. He's looking for grass, because that's what Ahab told him to do. And Elijah crosses his path. That's usually how it is with the gospel. The gospel crosses your path. Most of the time, you wasn't even looking for him. But he was looking for you. Looking for you. This man Obadiah, will be used of God to tell Ahab to come see Elijah. When Elijah tells Obadiah to go get Ahab, he speaks like the widow woman did. What's he saying? What have I sinned? Why, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant unto the hand of Ahab to slay me? He said, basically like she did, she said, you've come to call my sin to remembrance. What's that saying? When everything seems to go wrong, we think it's God's judging us, that he's punishing us for our sin. Listen, God never punishes his children. He punished his son. Now, he chastens his children because he loves us, but he don't punish them. Sin is not imputed where there is no law. And the law satisfied. But this is what he thought, and we still think that same way. We might as well be honest. When things go wrong, we go, well, maybe I hadn't been reading enough. Maybe I hadn't been praying enough. I've just been so cold. It's all my fault. Well, it is, but that ain't the reason. But that's what he thought, isn't it? And that's what she thought. Well, when her son died, well, why did you come here to kill my son? And she says, I just wished I'd have never laid eyes on you. In all these things, the Lord is teaching us to trust him. To trust him. When things seem to go wrong, we still have the idea that God is punishing us for our sin. It's hard for us to view trouble as a matter of grace. It was probably, to me, it was a blessing that this man got to meet Elijah. And I'd say when he goes back and he stands before Ahab, he's probably not afraid now because Elijah encouraged him. He said, because of the Lord of hosts to whom I stand, he said, I'm going to make myself known to Ahab today. And he believed him. And he went on and he did as he was commanded to do. Obadiah greatly feared the Lord, and the Lord will try his faith. Elijah takes away the fear and says, I'll show myself to Ahab this day. God can make the most weak child of God strong. Imagine Peter. You've heard me say this. Pentecost is 40 days from Passover. So Pentecost, this has only been less than a month and a half since he denied our Lord three times. And this same weak fisherman, who even said, and I hope you read the article in the bulletin from Brother Bruce, he says, I'm going back fishing. I've had enough of this. I've had enough of it. I'm going back doing something I'm familiar with. And this same weak fisherman stands and proclaims the gospel, and it rained. And 3,000 souls were saved. Obadiah goes to tell Ahab, you need to go see Elijah. He's got something to tell you. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. But the Lord put him where he was at to serve a purpose. To serve a purpose. And then we see that Elijah meets Ahab. Elijah is a picture of the believer going into all the world to preach the gospel. When he met Ahab, it was to confront this man with sin. Ahab accuses Elijah. Here's what Ahab said. You're the one that's troubling Israel. You've shut up the heavens. It's all your fault that it's not rained. Someone said the gospel makes some glad, some mad, some glad, some sad, and some mad. But it leaves a trail of blood wherever it goes. Some glad, some sad, and some mad. That's the gospel. Ahab blamed the drought and the trouble that it had upon Elijah. He had heard Elijah preach only once, and now he wanted to kill him. Reminds me, as I've already mentioned, our Lord, he comes back to Nazareth, those good people in Nazareth. They meet in their synagogue on the Saturday, and they ask him to stand up and read the scriptures, and he stands up. And they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Then he sits down, he said, the scripture's fulfilled in your ears. He said, there was many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah. Remember that story? 1 Kings 18, you remember that? But he said, he didn't send Elijah to them widows, but to that Gentile widow. I said, we understand you right. We're going to kill you. Ahab heard Elijah one time. He said, I don't want to kill you. I'm going to kill you. You're causing trouble. You're causing trouble. Listen, Elijah's like Paul at Antioch when he told Peter face to face, you're to blame, Peter. It's your fault. He was, in what he said, he was to be blamed. False religion always accuses the believer and the preacher of the gospel of causing trouble. The gospel declares that the troubles are brought about by the rebellion against God. That's why there was trouble. You know why we're living in the world in which we are? You know who's causing the trouble? Wicked, vile men, that's who. That's exactly right. A believer cannot get along just to get along. It's not peace at any cost. Our Lord said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. Everything's okay till Elijah shows up. Everything's okay till John the Baptist shows up. Oh, it's not the same. Henry Mahan preached Ralph Barner's funeral, and you know what he entitled it? John the Baptist come to town and we've never been the same. Elijah came to town, Elijah the Tishbite came to town, and they never were the same. They didn't hate our God for what he did, they hated him for what he said. The gospel is the declaration of whom God has saved and how he saves those people. The issue is very plain. And Elijah came to him in verse 21 of this chapter. He said, how long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, we'll follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Ahab feared Elijah as John, as Herod feared John. Let me read you this. Someone said, it is always the mark of an unhumbled heart for one who is smarting beneath the righteous rod of God to throw the blame upon someone else. Just as a sin-blinded nation, that describes our nation, which is being scourged for its iniquities, will attribute its troubles to the blunders of its political rulers. What's the problem? They're just instruments in God's hands. Ahab. Why is he even on the throne? God still put him there. Why? To judge Israel. Oh, you want to worship your deities? You want to worship your gods? I'll give you a wicked king. Is that what you want? We want to blame it on everything else. God's preachers have always been accused of being troublemakers. You know what they said about our Lord? He stirreth up the people. Paul and Silas, these men being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Everything's fine. You let God shine light in the midst of darkness, and you know what happens? The cockroaches begin to run. The bats want to hide. The creatures of the night run. They're just revealing the trouble. They're not causing the trouble. They're exposing the trouble. That's what the gospel always does. The gospel exposed that Ahab, you're the trouble. It says in Acts 17:6, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren to the rulers of the city, saying, these that have turned the world upside down are come thither also. You know what they did? They turned the earth right side up. But they said, you've turned it upside down. Elijah meets Ahab and he tells him the gauntlet is to be thrown down. The Lord's going to make manifest to that whole nation who is God. And can I tell you a little secret? You don't do the things that we've done in this nation and get by with it. There is judicial judgments. We know in Romans chapter 1, God not only turns individuals over to reprobate minds, he turns men over to reprobate minds and whole nations over to reprobate God. Under reprobate men, and they don't understand. Their consciences are seared with a hot iron. Why? God's brought judgment on the place. Because men worship everything else but God. And they do it in the name of God. You think about this. Jezebel, she thinks she's okay. We're worshiping God. And all these deities, we don't want to offend one of them. It's like when Paul stood in Mars Hill that day. He said, I've seen all of your, you got all these altars to all these different gods, to Zeus and Apollos and all. He said, I've seen you had one to the unknown God. Maybe there's one out there you just don't know about and you don't want to offend him. He said, that's the one I'm going to preach to you. And he did. God's preachers, like Elijah, will always tell men the truth. And it will cause trouble. Men can have they can have an ease of conscience. They can think everything's okay and everything's fine. But you let the gospel come in the power of God. Men can't, they won't sit on the gospel the same. Like I said, it either makes them sad, glad, or mad. You don't hear it with indifference. You know what that is? That's the power of God unto salvation. And it's amazing how God raised up that man, just Elijah, and sent him to preach. And God used him mightily in that day in which he lived. May God raise up men. Me and Sandy was talking, and just in the last year, Brother Henry, Brother Rupert, and now Brother Don. That's three preachers, great preachers. I know a few young men, very few. Most of that generation are getting older, you know, Donnie Bell and Todd and some of the others, some about my age, but some a little older, Bruce. And those men are getting on up there. What about when would the Lord replace those three? I hope he does. But, you know, that's up to him. But I can tell you this, they were just men. But Henry was a blessing to our generation. Don Fortner was a blessing to our generation. We were honored to have known him. Obadiah was, man, he is honored to have met Elijah. We know they were just men. They're men just like us. The best of men are men at best. But you think about Roth Barnard. We don't know how many were around when he was, probably just a few. And he called himself a traveling evangelist. And everywhere he went, he started trouble. I heard Henry tell it, and I used to love to hear him tell it. He loved to tell it when he first heard Barnard preach. He said, Barnard stood up, and he says, there's three lies going around. They ain't no truth to them. God loves everybody. God wants to save everybody. He's trying to save everybody. He said, they just ain't true. And Henry said, I want to find out if what that man's saying is the truth. And he did. May God raise up Elijahs that stand with courage and boldness and tell this world, prepare to meet your God. You're getting ready to find out who God is. Can you imagine them standing there when we get there and they're all standing around and they put the water on the sacrifice? Where'd they get all the water? I don't know, but they got it from somewhere. And Elijah just prays a little simple prayer. He said, Lord, that these people may know that you're God. And the fire fell. And Elijah said, get every one of them false prophets. We're killing every one of them. You know what the gospel will do? It kills them. He kills them. He kills and he makes alive. What is it? Not the weapons of our warfare are carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's a two-edged sword. Ahab couldn't stand in front. Herod couldn't stand it either. I'm glad he's on the throne. Amen.